The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, my name is Naomi Lambert from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will share articles with you from The Assembly, which publishes in-depth reporting on North Carolina at theassemblync.org. We are starting today with something from News, dated January 27th, and the reporter was Chase Pellegrini DePar. North Carolina warning. Anti-Muslim agitator at Amy Meck tweeted to her 588,000 followers on a recent Tuesday night. The Zoran Mamdani of North Carolina, congressional candidate Nida Alam, is actively working against federal immigration enforcement. The Post described efforts by Alam, a young Muslim populist running in North Carolina's solidly blue 4th congressional district, to alert communities to the presence of federal immigration officers in the Triangle. She attached a selfie-style video that Alam had filmed in November describing how to report sightings. Alam was all too happy with the comparison. The next day, she changed her bio on X to another quote from her about her from Meck, "Beware the next Zoran Mamdani." The 32-year-old Durham County Commissioner is challenging incumbent Representative Valerie Fushi in this year's Democratic primary. The race is a rematch. Fushi, who has served for nearly three decades at just about every level of local government, defeated Alam by 9 points in 2022 and subsequently cruised to victory in the general. In 2024, Fushi ran unopposed in her primary. But a lot has changed since their last matchup. Donald Trump is back in the White House with a vision of retribution against liberal hubs like the Triangle. In November, the area was targeted by federal immigration agents, and the district's prominent universities, hospital systems, and scientific research and development companies have suffered millions in federal funding cuts, the most of any district in the nation. In addition, the war in Gaza has also upended the politics of the Middle East within the Democratic Party, pushing Fushi to pledge not to accept campaign donations from the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, which was among the groups that funneled more than $3 million in outside spending into her 2022 campaign. And then there is the new mayor of New York City, whose rapid rise has suggested what might be possible for a young, social media savvy, progressive, anti-establishment Muslim candidate. Mamdani's campaign manager, Maya Hander, also managed Alam's 2022 effort, and she acknowledges the parallels. "North Carolina is not New York, and neither is not Zoran," Hander told me recently. "What they do have in common is outspoken, unbought leadership, and a message that deeply resonates with working people in this crisis of democracy and affordability." On policy, Fushi and Alam are both solidly left of most House Democrats, and their voting records likely wouldn't differ dramatically. Both support providing universal health care through Medicare for All, investing in clean energy and infrastructure via the Green New Deal, codifying Roe v. Wade and raising the federal minimum wage. And yet, they are also radically different in their approach to politics. Alam has an aggressively pro-worker message and a penchant for TikTok trends and selfie-style Instagram videos. Fushi is a measured 69-year-old stateswoman and the highest-profile member of a local political dynasty. Consistently, Alam is a step more anti-establishment. Fushi co-sponsored legislation to ban selling certain heavy munitions to Israel. Alam supports a full arms embargo. Fushi has called for Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem to resign. Alam says ICE should be abolished. Fushi has sworn off money from AIPAC, but has recently received donations from PACs affiliated with weapons manufacturers and pharmaceutical companies. Alam has pledged not to take any money from corporate PACs or right-wing special interests and has accused Fushi of being funded by big pharma, big tech and corporate defense contractors who ensure that billions of our tax dollars are being spent to fund genocide and war abroad. This is one of the nation's bluest districts, and in that sense, a bellwether not for the country as a whole, but for the mood of the Democratic Party's core voters. if a candidate like Mamdani is going to ascend to Congress anywhere outside New York City in 2026, this would be one of the likeliest places, but it is far from a sure thing. Louder is not always better, Fushi told me recently, and the March primary may go a long way toward answering question exactly how outspoken and defiantly left-wing do Democrats want their politicians to be in 2026. Alam's first official 2026 campaign event took place in Durham Central Park on a warm December afternoon. She wore a grey shirt emblazoned with her first name and orange face paint peeked from under her hijab. She was joined by 25-year-old activist David Hogg and about 30 campaign volunteers. "Raise your hand," Hogg asked the group. "Have any of you seen Valerie Fushi in public at all?" "Okay, two of you. Congrats." Fushi is unapologetic about her quieter approach to politics. "I'm not one who's going to be tooting my, hey, 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 look what I did. I'm not doing that. And you can criticize me all day and all night. I'm not doing that," she said in a recent interview. "My goal is to be successful in achieving the goals of the district, and so I have developed a way of doing that that may not get me noticed by the media, because you don't see me standing on steps with a microphone or megaphone." Before entering politics, Fushi was a police department administrator. "In preparation for our December interview, I listened to a 2017 oral history for a local community centre in which she described hearing the phrase, 'two black males,' repeated over the radio at her job. 'I was raising two black males,' she said, referring to her sons, 'and I'm listening to it all night. I would go to bed hearing 'two black males,' or wake up reading 'two black males,' or 'young black males.'" When we met at New Hope Market in Chapel Hill, she said she often conducts business here because she's friends with the owner. We began by talking about her first election, a 1997 Chapel Hill Carborough school board race. Fushi frames that campaign and every election since as part of her belief in public service. She describes her political career in earnest terms, seeing a need and wanting to give back to a village, a community that had given to me. Fushi was the first black woman to serve in most of her roles as the district's school board chair, as an Orange County commissioner, in her state house, state senate, and now U.S. House seats. Her pitch to voters, delivered in a Piedmont accent and peppered with quotes from South Carolina Congressman Jim Clyburn and the Bible, is experience. "People see that their everyday costs of living have increased to a point where it's difficult," she said. "There's still more work to be done, and I have the experience and the relationships that exist in Congress now to get it done." Fushi is a careful interviewee who tends to speak in threes. Nobody else has the experience. Nobody else has developed the relationships. Nobody else knows this district better than me. She is quick to clarify if she feels a question has been framed unsatisfactorily, or to hold up a finger for silence when she's ready to answer. Her allies describe her as a background operator who puts her head down and does the work for the district. "There's not a person I can think of who's more progressive than me," Fushi said. "I'm just more pragmatic than most." Per a UCLA analysis, Fushi is more liberal than 84% of House Democrats. In 2024, she secured over $11 million for district projects, such as affordable housing in Chapel Hill and a sewer infrastructure extension in Granville County. Since 2023, she's sponsored 23 bills, though in an era of GOP control of Congress, none have passed. If Fushi, a more traditional and high-profile politician obligated to split her time between her district and D.C., is accessible only through a gauntlet of aides and controlled town halls, Alam is almost unavoidable, especially on social media. Her claim to the progressive mantle is inseparable from her millennial Gen Z-style campaign. Her TikTok videos range from a recent visit to the Durham Animal Protection Society. "Simba," she exclaims as she lifts a cat in the air a la Lion King, to the first-person video she took of immigration enforcement agents detaining several people in November. "Do you have a warrant?" she loudly asks the masked officers. Like her opponent, Alam says she was pushed into politics by contact with the American justice system. In 2015, three of her friends in Chapel Hill were murdered in a hate crime. After working on several campaigns, including Senator Bernie Sanders' 2016 presidential bid, she joined the State Democratic Party's executive board. She became the first Muslim woman to win public office in North Carolina in 2020, when she was elected to the Durham County Board of Commissioners and became the state's youngest county commission board chair in 2023. She's currently in her second term on the board. Alam, who was born in Canada and moved to the US when she was just 6 years old, has pointed to her own experience as evidence that she is the right person to stand up for immigrant communities. She has worked to create an immigrant and refugee services coordinator position in Durham, raise the minimum wage for county employees to $19 an hour, and advance housing affordability initiatives. Her platform includes making public colleges tuition-free, fully funding Section 8 housing vouchers, and ending Citizens United and banning congressional stock trading. Her pitch to voters, in part, is that she is more of a fighter than Fauci. Voting and sponsoring legislation, she told me recently, are the bare minimum for a member of Congress. Are you whipping votes? Are you rallying your community? Are you pushing the party internally to support Medicare for All, the Green New Deal? But no issue has come up in the race as persistently as Israel, which dominated local politics for a time in 2023, and continues to reverberate. In November 2023, a Jewish-led group of protesters blocked rush hour traffic on the Durham freeway for hours under the banner, NC Jews Say Ceasefire Now, Call Rep Fauci. Some of those same protesters also packed and shut down city council meetings. In one tense incident in Durham, a dozen police officers formed a wall between demonstrators and council members. The Carborough and Durham councils eventually passed resolutions that denounced the war. The former urged Fauci to follow suit, and the latter's was forwarded to her and then President Joe Biden. Over 2 years, Fauci shifted her language away from her previously full-throated support of Israel and toward concern over the humanitarian crisis unfolding in Gaza. I asked Fauci what it was like to be the target of so much high-emotion criticism. I think what's most important is that I listened, she told me, but she clearly didn't want to dwell on it in 2026. Let me put it this way, she said. I don't think that people feel that that is a very important issue as it relates to kitchen table conversations. She does, however, see it as an important issue because we all want peace in the Middle East, noting that she has always been for a two-state solution. She also thinks she hasn't always been heard clearly on the matter. I think people discounted much of my sentiment about that situation because it was clouded by the fact that I took money from AIPAC. And she added that, in 2023, she represented four counties where protests and resolutions were not unfolding. Alam has made the Gaza war a centerpiece of her advocacy, as well as her case against Fauci over the past few years. When Fauci travelled to Israel on an AIPAC-sponsored trip to meet with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in 2024, Alam penned a critical op-ed. Alam describes herself as a pacifist and said she looks at the devastation in Gaza and sees her own two young children. And then every time I open my phone, I see a child who's been beheaded, she told me. I see a child who's now an orphan, the largest population of child amputees, and it's all our taxpayer dollars that's funding it. Like, I just morally, I don't understand how that, like, has been allowed to occur. While Durham and its long history of liberal politics are at the heart of the 4th District, other towns on its fringes, Cary, Apex, Morrisville, Holly Springs and Fuquay-Varina, have the potential to be something of a wild card in the Alam-Fauci matchup, because they've been newly drawn into the district. Alam's political career is tied to Durham, while Fauci's is tied to Orange County, and they each won their respective political home in the 2022 primary. Neither of them has previously been on a primary ballot in the terra incognita of Wake County. In 2023, Republican lawmakers drew portions of Western Wake and Eastern Chatham counties into the district, replacing parts of several more rural counties to the north of Durham, where voters had overwhelmingly favoured Fushi in the past. Of the roughly 40,000 votes that Fushi won in 2022, about 22% came from areas no longer in the district. The changes affected only about 5% of Alam's voters. Asher Hildebrand, a Duke University politics and policy analyst who used to work under Fushi's congressional predecessor, cautions against making any assumptions about whom those new boundaries may favour. In its iteration then and now, even though it has portions of other counties, Durham as a community, as a population centre, is the centre of gravity in the district, he said. Alam, however, is hoping that immigrant residents, largely concentrated in the newly added portion of Wake County, will help her. Morrisville, for example, is 42% Asian and home to an increasingly politically active Asian American and Pacific Islander population. While the federal immigration crackdown in North Carolina has focused on Spanish-speaking communities, Alam said that all immigrant communities are on edge and noted that she plans to invest very heavily to reach first-time and immigrant voters. There's so many Indian and Chinese Americans and other immigrant communities that are struggling because they're being targeted and living in fear, Alam said. They're walking around with their passports now. Wake County is historically less liberal than Durham and Orange, though the Democratic apparatus there has had recent success in local elections after working for years to try to mobilise votes for younger and more progressive candidates. In the purplest parts of the district, Cary, Apex, Holly Springs and Fuquay-Varina, Democrats swept town council seats last fall and ousted Republican mayors. In Pittsburgh, in the new southwest corner of the district, nearly a quarter of the town's 4,600-person population showed up to an April No Kings rally. Wesley Knott, the 29-year-old chair of the Wake County Democratic Party, has personally endorsed Alam. In an interview with one of my colleagues, Knott painted the contest as a referendum on the current state of the Democratic Party. For me, this is fundamentally not about Valerie Fushi. I think she served honourably and with integrity, Knott said. And if you think that the Democratic Party is on the right track, then I think she's a perfectly acceptable option in the primary. For Fushi's allies, though, the election is also a referendum on the representation of black voices in the party. One of North Carolina's other two black congressional representatives, Don Davis, is at risk of losing his seat after redistricting, and NPR recently reported that 15 other black U.S. House members are at risk of being drawn out of their districts if several Republican-led states succeed in weakening a provision of the Voting Rights Act. State Senator Natalie Murdoch, who represents Chatham and Durham counties, and first met Fushi a decade ago while working as vice president of the North Carolina Democratic Party's African American caucus, put it in stark terms to me over coffee in downtown Durham. Why, at this time in history, where we will likely lose black members of Congress, why should this district, Durham, that is very progressive, say, we are going to fire a black woman that is showing up and doing her job? Murdoch has been an effective campaign surrogate for Fushi in the past, telling my colleague in 2022 that she would brag on her because she won't do it herself. Murdoch is hardly the only political figure rallying behind Fushi. Governor Josh Stein, former Governor Roy Cooper, nearly every state representative and senator in her district, Durham Mayor Leo Williams, and the sheriffs of Chatham, Durham and Orange counties have all endorsed her. So has the Congressional Black Caucus and the Congressional Progressive Caucus PAC, via chairs Pramila Jayapal and Maxwell Frost. Fushi also scored a quiet endorsement from former Representative David Price, who represented the district for over 30 years and did not endorse in 2022. Alam has endorsements from the Justice Democrats, the Sunrise Movement, the Working Families Party, and Hogg, the irreverent Zoomer and controversial former vice chair of the Democratic National Committee. What Nida represents here is the opportunity for us to create real change in our party and send a clear message to establishment Democrats that the days of taking corporate, if you are taking corporate money, your days in power are effing numbered, Hogg told the crowd at the Alam event in December. He added that this district was the best opportunity that we have in our party to flip a seat back from a corporate-controlled, APAC-backed Democrat. After the event, and before he set up to film social media contact with Alam, I asked him what message he had for Fushi. "Retire," he said after a long pause. In 2022, outside money was a key factor, said Handa, Alam's former campaign manager. If Nida's campaign had not been outspent by super PACs, we would have won. Alam has made outside spending a central issue in this race. In the first 9 months of last year, Fushi's campaign raised $222,000, according to the most recent reports available. Unions were among some of the top donors, including machinists, aerospace workers, and state and county employees, followed by pharmaceutical companies. Alam said that those donations are in conflict with Fushi's stated values, like support for affordable healthcare and campaign finance reform. Fushi said she is simply representing the Research Triangle, which is home to corporations that bring jobs to the people in this district, including pharmaceutical companies like Merck, GSK and Eli Lilly. Alam announced in a press release that she had raised $200,000 on the first day of her campaign. Those donations will be viewable in the report due in January, but Alam said that they came via more than 3,500 individual donations, averaging $58 each. Her website says she is campaigning without a dime from billionaires or right-wing corporate interests. While national money and attention is likely to flow to the race, it is also sure to involve its fair share of esoteric local politics, like Alam's perceived feud with a black former Durham City Council member, or where the candidates stand on a planned data centre in Wake County. Alam recently won the endorsement of one influential local PAC, the People's Alliance, while Fushi clinched the endorsement of another, the Durham Committee on the Affairs of Black People. There's also a low-profile Democrat in the race, Mary Patterson. The winner of the primary is expected to easily defeat perennial Republican candidate Max Ganokar, whose website calls on residents to be an anti-socialism warrior. Fushi's aversion to self-promotion seems to have left her feeling unfairly portrayed. In an August town hall in Carborough, she thanked a resident who asked her about her stance on Gaza. "You just don't know how many times I've been waiting for someone to ask that publicly so I can answer it publicly," she said, as if a local political heavyweight doesn't have the clout to summon a gaggle of reporters with a single email. At the end of our interview, she thanked me sincerely for listening to me and hearing it from my mouth. Her incumbency may give her some name recognition advantage, but it's also put her on the defensive. The challenger can campaign on criticism of the incumbent, while the incumbent needs to defend a congressional record that has played out in an era of Republican control. Per conventional political wisdom, Fushi tends to avoid talking about Alam at all. When I mentioned her challenger, she reminded me that she has several. This dynamic has made for a somewhat lopsided debate, allowing Alam to frame the election as a referendum on Fushi, her campaign funding and her political style. And that contrast between a measured, traditional, establishment-backed politician and a younger, outspoken candidate happy to be compared to Mamdani may, in the end, be the deciding factor in the race. Months from now, Democrats beyond North Carolina can read the results and see how or whether the mood of their voters has shifted since 2022. In particular, they may discover a judgment on what progressive voters perceive as the job of a congressional representative in the second Trump era. "It is not, in my opinion, my role to elevate my work," Fushi told me. She has served in public office consistently since her 1997 school board election. But until Alam hadn't faced a strong challenger in a decade. And I'll say this, if that's a requirement, then I probably won't ever be re-elected, because I'm not going to start doing that today. And we just have time for an excerpt from an article entitled A Purity Test for Democrats by Brian Anderson. The North Carolina Democratic Party is withholding a key resource from four state legislative candidates who have sided with Republicans in voting to override vetoes from Democratic governors. At Chair Anderson Clayton's urging, the state party's executive council enacted new rules during the closed meeting sometime last year to deny access to Vote Builder, a voter contact software the state party typically distributes at no cost to candidates, to one former and three current state lawmakers. The program allows candidates to track volunteers, identify possible supporters, and develop donor lists. The new policy wasn't announced publicly. It punishes Democrats who have bucked party leadership and serves as a warning to discourage others from doing so in the future. While Republicans have a supermajority in the state Senate, they need at least one Democratic lawmaker to break ranks to override vetoes in the state House. Clayton said the party decided to revoke access from anyone who voted last year to override a veto by Josh Stein, anyone who had voted in the past to override a veto by former Governor Roy Cooper, and who is now challenging a Democratic incumbent, also lost access. She said the policy applies to State Representatives Carla Cunningham and Nasif Majid of Mecklenburg County and Sherry Willingham of Edgecombe County and former Representative Michael Ray of Northampton County, who is challenging an incumbent in a bid to return to the legislature. The state party has restricted some of the access to resources that we have for anybody that's overridden the governor's veto in the past election cycles that we've seen, Clayton said in an interview. We need people that are going to Raleigh to actually represent their district and their constituencies and how they got elected. The decision doesn't affect funding from the state party, which is typically distributed after the primaries. The four seats in question are likely all safe for Democrats. There are no Republicans running in Majid and Cunningham's districts. Ray's campaign said he hasn't asked the party for any help, including access to Vote Builder. We have enough funds, we have enough volunteers, we don't need their help, said Brad Crone, a spokesman for Ray's campaign. The other three campaigns didn't immediately provide comment. Several other current and former lawmakers who have sided with Republicans on override votes haven't been cut off from Vote Builder because they aren't challenging incumbent Democrats, Clayton said. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of The Assembly. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to tune in next time. I am Naomi Lambert for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. This broadcast is now available as a podcast on our website, thereadingservice.org. So long, until next time, and if you have any questions or comments, please call 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138, and thank you for listening.